Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If you fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Where if it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down.
For everyone who's a valedictorian, there's another 100 out there that they weigh 130 pounds and they've got calves the size of antelopes because they're hauling 75 pounds of marijuana across the desert.
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see, I can't, the third one I can't, sorry, oops.
Developing a nuclear weapon. Iraq has a growing fleet of manned and unmanned aerial vehicles, continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised. The British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa.
There is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
They have weapons of mass destruction. That is what this war was about.
There is no doubt that he is amassing them to use against our friends, against our allies, and against us.
Saddam Hussein is a homicidal dictator who is addicted to weapons of mass destruction.
And you can actually see Russia from land here in Alaska.
Explain to me why that enhances your foreign policy credentials.
Well, it certainly does.
We'll be right back. All right, let me. Going around doing so much stuff, I forgot to grab my mic. I grabbed my mic. Tonight, this is Politics and a Beer. This is Alec. We're going to talk about a few things, man. We're going to talk about what's going on in the Republican Party today and why they've lost all credibility as being, let's even stop talking about whether they've lost credibility on ideas. Let's even stop talking about whether they've lost credibility on being part of the debate about the important issues facing America today. Let's even forget the debate about if they've become a party so intertwined with religious social issues that they don't understand the heartbeat of America. They don't understand the nuances of American society. They don't understand the changes that take place in American society. They don't understand tolerance. They don't understand the melting pot, which is America. Let's even put those arguments behind. Let's get to something important like the Washington Capitals. If you are not, if you're living under a damn rock, you don't know that the Washington Capitals won tonight once again by one goal. The New York Rangers have now been in 11 playoff hockey games. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, the Washington Capitals are the Washington, D.C. hockey team. They won. I'm going to explain what this has to do with politics in a moment, so stay with me. The Washington Capitals won. It was a fantastic game. It was up and down. They went down 1-0. Every team, the first three games of this series, the team that won that scored the first goal won the game. New York Rangers take a 1-0 lead. The Washington Capitals come back. They score two goals. They score a goal late in the second to tie things up. They score a goal early in the third to take a lead. They hold on for a 2-1 lead, razor thin margin of error. They win. They're up 3-1 in the series, and I'm excited about that. Now, I have tried to like make sports less important to me. So the way I view sports now is I'm happy when my teams win. But I don't let it get me down when my teams lose. I'm not one of these guys that's sad the next day. It's just, it's something I enjoy, and I take it more as something in my life that I just enjoy. But the Capitals winning is very cool. So I'm happy tonight the Capitals won. There's a couple other things that I'm happy about, and please stay with me on this. I haven't done a show in a couple weeks. I'm working on some things like building a floor for my house. And when I say I'm building a hardwood floor, I'm not talking about I went to the floor store and wrote them a check to come over and install a wood floor. I'm not talking about going to the wood store, going to the floor store and buying pre-cut flooring and installing and doing my own labor to install the floor. I'm talking about going to a lumber yard, buying rough cut lumber, and doing all the work, the thickness planing, the squaring of the boards, the cutting, the measuring, everything to build my own hardwood floor. So I'm enjoying the Caps win. I'm enjoying building the floor. I enjoy my job. I enjoy what I do. It's fun. I really have a charmed life. There's a lot I enjoy. You know what I worry about? I worry about whether the Caps are going to win the next game and go to the conference finals. I worry about the work it's going to take to get my floor looking just right like I want it to look in my home. And when people come in and I say, wow, I built this floor, I want it to look good. I worry about how my nieces are doing. I don't worry because they're great kids. I like to know they're doing well. I think about getting a little more exercise, and I rode my bike tonight for a half hour. I feel good about that. I worry about when I buy a bottle of wine if it tastes good. Tonight I'm lucky enough to be drinking a red wine by the Eberly Winery, which I remember from my days in college back in the early 90s. The Eberle Winery is a winery in Paso Robles, California. I found a bottle of their red wine from 2009, so I bought it. I was hoping it was good. I'm enjoying this bottle of wine. I'm trying to get into a bowling league with a buddy of mine over the summer. We're going to decide which bowling league is right. Okay, there's a point to what I'm saying here. I think about my friends and what we're going to do. I think about when I'm going to be able to hike, when I'm going to be able to spend nights in the woods. I think about when would be a good time to ride my bicycle from Pittsburgh to Washington, D.C. on the Great Allegheny Passage Trail, then to the C&O Canal and down to Georgetown in D.C. I think about doing the Warrior Dash with my family, my brother and sister-in-law and my nieces. I think about a lot of things. I think about, I'm making sushi now. I've learned how to make my own sushi. And am I rambling? Yes, I'm rambling, but I'm going to make a point here in a moment. I'm learning to make sushi, and I love making my own sushi. It's just awesome. Hell of a lot cheaper, too, but it's just cool to sit at home and have good sushi, not have to go somewhere, and not have to pay those prices. I'm working more on what I eat. Not huge changes, but, just doing things like trying to do more whole grains, trying to put less processed sugar in me, things like that. And it's working. I'm feeling more energetic. The reason I bring all these things up, these are the things I think about on a daily basis. These are the things that occupy my mind. I live a charmed life. I don't worry much about money. My wife and I do not worry much. Well, she worries about money. Not because we don't have some. It's just hardwired in our DNA, I guess. But there's very little we have to really worry about, and we live a charmed life. I worry about if it's going to cost $300 or $600 to get my motorcycle up and running like I want it to. And, of course, it's a Harley-Davidson. This might be the longest I've gone in a show yet without swearing. But the reason I bring up the things I worry about, the reason I bring up the things I think about, the reason I bring up the things that take up my time is because one thing I'm not worried about is black UN helicopters coming to take my guns, which would be tough. I don't have any guns. I don't worry about the UN denying the United States sovereignty. I don't worry about President Obama denying me my civil liberties. I don't worry about a foreign entity unleashing an EMP blast upon America to take down our electrical grid. I don't worry about the Russians hitting us with a nuclear bomb. I don't worry about Iran getting a nuclear weapon. I don't worry about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction. I don't worry about who's going to win the Syrian civil war. I don't worry about undocumented workers in America who work their frickin' ass off to make very little money doing jobs that many Americans will not do. I don't worry about Hillary and Bill Clinton starting a monarchy in this country if Hillary's elected. I don't worry about Barack Obama somehow sidestepping the Constitution and declaring martial law so that he can serve a third term. I don't worry about these things. You know, another one thing I sure as fuck don't worry about? There's the swear word. I sure as fuck don't worry about the United States military, the special forces of this country, the elite SEALs and special forces and Rangers, and even the everyday Army soldier, Navy shipmen, or are they called midshipmen? I don't worry about Air Force, members of the United States Air Force, or members of the United States Navy, or members of the United States Marines, or soldiers in the Army. I don't worry about them invading America. I don't worry about them building secret underground bases in Texas. I don't worry about them building FEMA camps in Arkansas. I don't worry about the fact that because there's military maneuvers, training maneuvers taking place in the state of Texas, I don't think that that is a precursor to the United States military invading Texas and the southwest of America. You know why I don't believe that? I'll tell you why. Because I'm not batshit fucking crazy. However, there is a batshit crazy contingent of Americans out there, and they're called the Republican Party. If somebody would have told you 20 years ago that today's Republican Party would have state governors, I'm not talking about some crazy guy who lives three blocks away, who has a bomb shelter because he's sure the El Salvadorians are coming to get him. Not talking about that guy. I'm talking about elected representatives of one of the two political parties in America. I'm talking about the entire Republican Party of the United States of America. They all give credence. Every single one of you. There's not a single Republican out there that will admit that the U.S. military is not invading fucking Texas. You know why? Because you keep electing the crazy people that believe that. You keep electing nutbags. So while I'm worried about whether my wine from the Eberle Winery in Paso Robles, and by the way, it is pretty damn good. It's really good, actually. While I'm worried about the Capitals winning, while I'm worried about if I'm going to get time to ride my bicycle, or I'm going to start jogging to get in better shape, or I'm going to be able to go on a 3 or 4 night hike with my two brothers, they're the Republican Party. They don't think of those things. They're thinking whether or not President Obama and the UN have a plan to invade the state of Texas, and they're masking it, and I am not making any of this up. I am not making a word of this up. Go check it. This is all true, what I'm saying. Not only does the Republican Party believe and give credence to the idea that it's possible that the U.S. military is planning an imminent invasion of Texas, not only that, if you haven't been paying attention to this, you're going to think I'm making it up. I assure you I'm not making it up. Not only does the Republican Party in America believe that the U.S. military is eminently ready to invade the fucking state of Texas, but that they have staging areas for the dissidents they're going to round up. Now, of course, these dissidents are people that are in the Tea Party or people that own guns. The military is going to go into Texas, and they're going to round up these dissidents. They're going to round up these patriots. They're going to round up the patriotic Americans that own guns and don't like Obama and don't like the UN. In other words, the Tea Party. They're going to round up members of the Tea Party, and they have staging areas. They've been building staging areas. You think I'm making this up? I am not fucking making this up. They have staging areas where they're going to keep the dissidents. Oh, boy. They're going to keep the dissidents, the patriotic Americans that oppose a takeover by the U.S. military. They're going to round them up and put them in Walmarts. They're going to put them in Walmarts. And they're going to process them into underground tunnels that have been being built under Walmart by the U.S. military. Let this shit sink in for a moment. Okay? Here's why I want you to sit and let it sink in. Because there's not a single Republican presidential candidate that's been asked about this yet. Not a single Republican GOP candidate that has said, no, the U.S. military is not planning an invasion of Texas. These fears are unwarranted, and these conspiracy theories or should not be paid attention to. Not a single Republican has said that yet. Not one. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because Republicans and conservatives, and especially the Tea Party, they do not think normally. Now, I'm not going to go so far as to say they're mentally ill, but they do suffer from a delusional state that's not healthy. I met a woman today, this really happened, that believed all this. She believed that indeed this was the U.S. military taking over. Not only that, they do have underground military bases in Texas. Not only that, the military has used neuroweapons, in other words, weapons that affect your brain, on her. She was, I don't want to call it paranoid schizophrenic, but she was this paranoid, she was so paranoid to the point of it was hard to have a conversation with her. She also believes something in her house is melting the aluminum foil. Now, this is a person, this is a functioning member of society. There have been studies done that show how conservatives think versus how liberals. Conservative brains are much more susceptible to accept fear, accept the idea that there's going to be an EMP. I did speak to a person that thinks the Russians could launch an EMP against us. Some crazy fuck who used to be, I think, James Woolsey. Was he the head of the FBI, the head of the CIA? He believes, yeah, it's a rational fear to think that there could be an EMP launched on America. Why? Because he's fucking crazy. There's something about the conservative mind that doesn't think right. And I'm going to tell you right now that I feel sorry for conservatives. I feel sorry for the fact that they can't enjoy hockey games. They can't enjoy family gatherings. They can't enjoy a good red wine. They can't enjoy time with their nieces. They can't enjoy time at a bar with friends. They can't enjoy going to the tavern and playing Funky Monkey on the computer screen. I hope my Funky Monkey high score holds up for a while. That's the kind of dumb shit I worry about because I live a charmed life. They can't do that because they're truly thinking that they're in a bar at any given time. They must have an AK-47 or an AR-15 with them to be there if anything bad happens. They live in a constant fear. Why do they live in a constant fear? Because they're fucking crazy. Now, many of them are clinically, I don't want to use the term crazy or insane, but they have mental illness. There's no denying that people that think the UN is building black helicopters to come take over American sovereignty have something wrong with their logical brains. There's no mistaking that. You cannot argue to me that those people don't have some brain deficiency. I feel sorry for them. A person, the woman I was talking to today that had the belief she had, I felt sorry for her because she was a thinking, functioning individual, only with one small thing wrong with her brain that made her believe, actually believe things that were so crazy, it took away all ability for her to live a fulfilling life. Conservatives cannot live a fulfilling life because they live in fear. And the conservative leaders know this, and they play on that fear. The idea that the government's going to come get your guns is so batshit fucking crazy that only a person with a mental deficiency would believe it. The idea that President Obama is trying to give away American sovereignty is so batshit crazy. Only someone with mental deficiencies could believe such a thing. One thing we know, and this, of course, comes back to the idea that conservative, the candidates for president, we're not talking about some schlub running for county commissioner in Arizona. We're not talking about Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who's the sheriff of some fucking racist county. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people running for leader of the free world. They give credence to the idea that the U.S. military may be plotting an invasion of fucking Texas. Tell me the GOP is not stupid. Please call me at 424-258-9273 while I take a bite of my red beans and rice and sausage that I made tonight. That I'm enjoying with my red wine. Please call and tell me how your entire party is not batshit crazy, because in your so-called big tent, you have people ready to take up arms against the U.S. military, believing in their hearts, believing in their heads, believing with their entire being that the U.S. military is planning an invasion of Texas, rounding up people of the Tea Party, and putting them in Walmarts before moving them to underground tunnels they built under Walmart. This is today's Republican Party. Y'all happy? Don't tell me this is the outliers. Don't tell me that's just a few of us. I'll tell you what. All right, let's talk about Greg Abbott. He's the Pentagon. The Pentagon has had to answer these crazy. God damn. The fucking Pentagon had to respond and say, no. No, we're not. All right. Do you want to hear what Governor Greg Abbott, the Pentagon, Walmart had to come out and tell fucking people in Texas, the dumbass people in Texas, and yes, if you're in Texas and you voted for Greg Abbott, you're a fucking idiot. There's no two ways about it. Now, here's what Greg Abbott did. He asked Major General Gerald Betty, the commander of the Texas State Guard. This is a Republican elected governor. Okay? He asked him to provide regular updates during the 8-week exercise, and this is a quote from Greg Abbott. During the training operation, it's important that Texans know their safety, constitutional rights, private property rights, and civil liberties will not be infringed. Really? We have a governor in the United States of America that actually pays credence and supports ideas that training exercises in his state by the U.S. military constitute what could be a possible takeover of his state by Barack Obama and the U.S. military. Now, if you want to call me, I know why conservatives don't call me. I know why Republicans don't call me. Because you can't, as a Republican, deny that this is what Republicans are thinking. You can't, as a Republican, deny that Ted Cruz said, I understand the Texas citizens' concern with a government and a president who wants to take away all your personal liberties. Mike Huckabee won't go against it. None of these people, none of Rand Paul, we're going to look into this exercise. Maybe they are trying to take over Texas. When you have batshit crazy in your party, batshit crazy people in your party not willing to say, wait a minute, this is a training exercise. It's crazy to think they're invading Texas. When you're afraid to say that, your party is a bunch of crazy people and it's being run. You know what? Where is it? You heard that the phrase the asylum is being run by the inmates? The guards and the doctors and the nurses are crazy in the GOP asylum as well. Because you're just as crazy as the people who believe this if you won't deny it. If you won't stand up and say, no, this is a United States military training exercise. They're not taking over Texas. They haven't built tunnels under Walmart. And no, they're not going to keep people under in the tunnels under Walmart. If you're unwilling to say that, you're just as fucking crazy as the people who believe it. If you're unwilling to say, no, Walmart is not going to be used as a staging ground to hold people that own guns. If you're unable to say that, you're just as batshit crazy. Of course, the entire Republican Party is so infiltrated with crazy people that they don't even know what crazy is anymore. This didn't happen overnight, by the way. This isn't something that out of the blue, people woke up in Texas and went, wow, there's a military exercise. We should look into this. No, this comes from years and decades, if not over a century, of distrust of the U.S. government, a demonizing of people that look and act differently than you. Let's be honest. It was people in the South that came up with the lost cause myth of the Civil War, that we were on the right side of things. We only lost because we were outnumbered, but we were on the right side. Oh, the Civil War was not about slavery. It was about our state's rights. And remember, this continued. It was the same people in the South that denied federal authority to integrate the schools. When things must be understood, in Brown versus the Board of Education of Topeka, Kansas, the Supreme Court said, yes, there's extreme racism in segregation. Yes, schools are far too segregated. You have to integrate the schools. Kansas refused to integrate their schools. Many places around the country refused to integrate the schools. They had to go back and do a second Brown versus Board of Education case to say not only must you integrate the schools, you must do it with all reasonable speed. You have to do it now. We will enforce this because you people in the South are refusing to do it. You're refusing the authority of the federal government. This goes back for decades. And then, of course, then what happens is they started moving to the demonization of the political figures in the Democratic Party. Now, let's be honest about something. Politics has always been a nasty game. Politics has always involved the demonization of people opposite party of you. It's always involved negative advertising. I should say negative campaigning. Because we say negative advertising today, we think of TV and radio. We think of direct mail. There's always been negative campaigning back to the days of the third president, back to the days of Jefferson. There's always been negative campaigning. But now something has changed, and it changed around the time Bill Clinton took office. Do we remember that Bill and Hillary Clinton had Vince Foster killed? Remember the conspiracy theories that revolved around the Clintons and still revolve around the Clintons? Remember what Hillary called a vast right-wing conspiracy, and she was right. All the things, this is when, now, here's what happened. These things coincided with the rise of the internet. Now, here's why it's important, okay? And I want you to stay with me on this. If somebody has a mental predisposition to be more fearful, if someone has a mental predisposition to be more hopeful, if someone, any mental predisposition one has, any emotional issue someone has, any emotional, when I say emotional, I mean mental health-wise. Any mental health deficiency someone has, it's likely to be worse. It's likely to be made worse by the internet. So if you're a person that thinks the government's coming, the UN's coming to get us with black helicopters, you can go on the internet and find Alex Jones. You can find a whole community of people who believe this. If you believe President Barack Obama was born in Kenya and he's a socialist, he's a Muslim, he's about to take away our way of living, you can go on the internet and find this. No longer are these batshit crazy people who suffer from severe mental illness. No longer are these people isolated in their own homes, listening to a ham radio, wondering if there's anyone else out there left in society before they go upstairs and check how things are in the townhouse complex. No, now they can sit online and every one of their worst fears is being realized every day. All of their fears of Iran, Iraq, all of the fear-mongering that takes place, now they can go find it. And not only that, they can find people that agree with them. They can find people that think like them. No longer are they the outcast of society. Now they feel mainstream. Now they feel like they're the mainstream people that can go ahead and say, yes, yes, the UN is an evil, evil cabal that's going to take all my rights. Yes, George Soros is leading the crusade to create a Holocaust of Americans. And yes, Christianity has been criminalized. Oh my God, look what's happening. The people who are predisposed mentally to be afraid and to be fearful now are so loaded with information to be fearful and afraid that of course it's going to lead to a breakdown in sanity among a certain population. Let me give you a perfect example. Have you ever had a stomachache, or have you ever had a headache? I don't say knee or elbow, because very few people die of knees and elbows. Here's a great example. Remember John Edwards, not the vice presidential candidate that did all the stuff behind his wife's back. Remember the psychic? He would talk to dead people, and he always said, it's somebody, their name starts with an M or an A, maybe Anthony, Tony, because that's like 90% of men's names, or a J or a M. He never said, wow, I think their name starts with a E, or maybe an E. But he would never say, like, name starts with a Q or something. Or his name starts with a, you know, whatever. He always had the letters down, and he knew how to read people. And he'd always say, is it something toward the middle of the body? I'm getting something happened around this area. And it'd be the heart, lungs, stomach area. Well, yeah, that's what most people die from. If not, he would go, oh, middle of the body, maybe the head or so. Because nobody really, yes, some people do, but most people don't die from problems in the knee. I'm going to make a point here. So if you have a headache, if you have a headache for 2 days, if you have a stomach ache, if you have a certain breathing issue, any of these things you may have, go online and Google your symptoms, okay? And I guarantee you, you will find out not only are there things it could be that can cause great harm, you're really likely to believe you have very little time left on this earth to live. So I want you to think of a hypochondriac, okay? I want you to think of a hypochondriac who wakes up and everything he feels thinks it may be a major issue. You know, there's so many things. Now imagine that poor hypochondriac. Now remember, hypochondria is a mental condition. These people really can't help it. That's my spoon. I need another bite of red beans and rice. These individuals can't help themselves. If you're a hypochondriac, everybody accepts that as a mental condition that they're not really in control of, because they don't want to live like that. The idea that a 35-year-old hypochondriac is doing it just to get attention, that is stupid. They don't want to be like that. They don't want to always think they're sick. It's a bad thing. It's not cool to be that. Okay? So, with the rise of the internet, now hypochondriacs can search all these different things that can go wrong with you. And I want you to put yourself in the position, or try to. And just understand, these people can't help themselves. They think the way they do because there's a mental defect. It's not because of upbringing. It's just something that's so hard. They need serious mental health. Imagine that hypochondriac going online and Googling a headache, or Googling a stomach ache, or Googling something that happened, and seeing all the things it could be. Do you understand how that hypochondriac would believe the worst and believe all the things he may have and believe all the cancers he could have and all the chronic illnesses he could have? Can you understand the anguish that would cause that hypochondriac? I want you to think of that. Now, when you think of that hypochondriac, I want you now to think of a person with the same mental defect as a hypochondriac, only their mental defect is fear of the outside world, fear of other countries. They call it xenophobia, call it whatever you want. But imagine the people that if you have a propensity for fear, which studies show conservatives do. Studies show the conservative brain is far more susceptible to fear stimuli than a liberal brain. Of course it's because we're far more advanced. Of course it's because we don't suffer from the mental illness of xenophobia or hypochondria. So when people who suffer from the mental illness, that is, they can't process fears, they can't rationalize fears correctly, what happens to them when they listen to Alex Jones? What happens to them when they listen to Sean Hannity? What happens to them when they listen to Rush Limbaugh? Here's what happens to them. They grab their guns and they go point them at members of the Bureau of Land Management because they think it's a hostile takeover of Clive and Bundy's ranch. And people like Sean Hannity understand it. Why? Because they're just as mentally ill. So when you take mentally ill people that have a propensity to fear things that are unreasonable, and you throw a bunch of unreasonable fears at them, what do you think is going to happen? I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. They are going to be susceptible to every conspiracy theory that comes up. They will read things on the internet and believe them to be fact because they don't think right. What I'm telling you is today's Republican Party, led by the Tea Party, make no mistake about it, today's Republican Party is led by the Tea Party. These people have a mental deficiency that does not allow them to think rationally like normal people do. Normal people do not think we have to invade Iraq. Normal people didn't think that Saddam Hussein was coming to get us. Normal people. But when you play to people's fears, we know there's a small percentage of people that will believe it. What we didn't know was the percentage of people that will be susceptible to the fear-mongering done by the conservatives in America. What we didn't know is just how large and how powerful that group would be. We didn't know there would be a majority of a Republican, of a majority of a American party, the majority of an American political party that were all batshit crazy. We didn't know that. We thought that one guy three blocks away that built a bomb shelter and kept freeze-dried food in his house thinking Armageddon was coming for the last 50 years. We thought he was the outlier. We thought he was like one of the only crazies. We didn't know he was representative of an entire movement of people that are so mentally incapable of comprehending the world around them that they fall for every fear, every crazy conspiracy theory. And now the irresponsible people of the GOP, the irresponsible leaders of the Republican Party, refuse to say, we shouldn't worry about the U.S. military invading Texas. Instead, the batshit crazy Republican Party gives credence to the idea that the U.S. military and the special forces are going to Texas to take over the state of Texas. Now, where does this come from? Remember Joni Ernst. We didn't think Joni Ernst in Iowa was crazy when she said, I want to keep my guns in case the government don't think my rights are valuable anymore. Okay, this is an American politician who, mind you, served in the military, served in the National Guard, saying that, you know what, I'm going to keep my guns because I don't think the U.S. government, for whom I work, for whom I represent, for whom I want to be part of, represents my rights. Therefore, I have to keep my guns to protect myself. You wonder how mentally ill people fall for the shit the Republicans say? You wonder why I say the Tea Party is a bunch of mentally deficient, crazy people? When Tom Cotton stands up on the U.S. Senate floor and says we're living in a time, and not just him, many of them say it, we're living in a time that is reminiscent of before Hitler's reign in Germany. What do you think that does to people who are mentally deficient, who can't process fear rationally? You know what it does? In America, it allows them to buy as many guns as they want and be as fearful as they want. There's a reason why we see so many crazy-ass shootings by people. Because we in this country think it's okay for mentally deficient people not only to run a political party, but to then say, you know what, let's make sure all the mentally deficient, crazy fuckers in America have guns. This isn't a hard equation. Tell me how in the world, in the state of motherfucking Texas, do you want to tell me how a guy who has already been convicted, he's already been found guilty of conspiring, desiring, wanting to go to, where was this guy going to travel to? It wasn't Pakistan, maybe it was Yemen, it was some country, and help and fight jihad, maybe it was Somalia. He was going to go somewhere and fight jihad, and we knew it. We had him on the FBI watch list, we monitored him. How does that son of a bitch get a bunch of guns so he can go try to shoot up people who are going to mock the Prophet Muhammad? How in the world? You know what? The idea that a crazy person, already known to be crazy, already, you know what? Here's what's the funniest freaking thing. The same two nuts that we're going to go try to shoot up a conference of people, that we're going to make fun of the Prophet Muhammad, that we're going to mock the Prophet Muhammad with a cartoon contest, they're just as fucking sick as the people. They're just as sick as the individuals. They're just as mentally ill as the individuals that took guns to Clive and Bundy's Nevada ranch to fight the federal government. They're just as fucking crazy of the people that think military exercises in Texas mean that the government has taken over Walmart and they're going to store people in tunnels under Walmart. They're just as fucking crazy because they're delusional. They play into the fears. And yes, ISIS plays on these people to do horrible things. The Tea Party plays on these people for votes. And when you see things like, who was the Las Vegas couple that went and shot a couple of police officers in cold blood? In like a jack-in-the-box or something. And they draped a Tea Party flag over their body. And then went to a Walmart where the guy with the concealed weapons permit went to take care of business and got gunned down and killed. Where do you think these people, where do you think their apocalyptic views, where do you think their mental illness was fueled? It was fueled by people in the Tea Party. And people on Fox News, and people like Alex Jones. It was fueled by the Tea Party and conservatives giving them irrational fears to fear, because we know people, we know a certain percentage of people will believe irrational fears. Now, somebody want to call me and tell me we don't have a problem with our gun laws in America when a person on a FBI watch list, when a person being monitored by the FBI can buy guns and go try to shoot a bunch of people? thank goodness he had no clue how to use guns. Thank Allah he was just so inept with his guns. Now I'm going to bring this back to Baltimore. Everything I've heard about Baltimore, everything I've seen written about Baltimore is all wrong. Every single person I listen to is wrong about Baltimore. They're wrong either because they're trying to sell commercial time between their segments like CNN, or they're wrong because they try to take sides in a war. They try to take sides in a battle in which both sides are wrong. Listen to what I just said. Anyone taking sides on the idea of what's going on in Baltimore is probably a frickin' moron. If you take the side that it's the rioters are causing problems and they're stupid for burning their own towns and blah, 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 you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. The only people responsible for the violent acts that occurred in Baltimore, and it was a minority of people, a minority of a minority of a minority of the people that caused violence. Those individuals and only those individuals are responsible for the actions that were taken. No one else is responsible. For if you take a match and you burn a building, you throw a Molotov cocktail into a CVS, you do something, you throw a swing at a police officer. Don't worry, I'm going to look at the other side in a moment. You take a swing at a police officer, you throw a rock at a police officer. You do something to disturb the peace in an unpeaceful manner, that's on you. That's your decision. You made the decision. You live with the consequences. Now, number two, the cops. This is the other side of the battle. Now, there's some people who take the protesters' view. Oh, you have to understand, these guys, that there's been racism. And okay, I understand that. But when 98% of the people protesting are doing it peacefully and 2% aren't, and they're the ones burning buildings, they're the ones causing damage, don't talk to me about racism. Don't talk to me because they're wantingly committing a crime. Now, on the other side, don't talk to me about cops either. Don't tell me that the cops are, you know what, you have to give them some leeway. No, here's an idea. Here's just a simple idea. Why don't we stop treating young black men as the enemy? I'm not on either side here. I don't like the cops. I don't like people that burn buildings. Okay? I think the entire fucking cop organization is a corrupt fucking cesspool. All of them. Don't come to me and tout a story of, oh, look what this good cop did. We have to look at things as a whole. And when you look at it as a whole, there's corruption in cop organizations. And it's going to come out, pretty harsh, how this Freddie Gray character, and they say they were arresting him for having a knife that may or may not have been illegal. See, that's the problem. You know what? I'm a white guy. All my life I've been white. As long as I can frickin' remember, I've been white. And the whole time I've been white, and the whole time of where I've been, which is mainly white neighborhoods. Does that mean I haven't been in black neighborhoods? Of course not. But mainly where I've lived has been a majority, and in some cases a slim majority, of whites. And all my life, from the time I was a very young man, to the time I was in the Army, to the time I was in college, now there was a very white area. I went to a place that was really, really white. From the time in Washington, D.C., to the time in Falls Church, Virginia, no matter where I lived, Youngstown, Ohio, growing up, if I had a knife on me that was maybe legal by state code, but maybe illegal by a local code, if there was that much gray area, you know what never happened to me? Never got arrested. You know, there's a lot of times I didn't always behave. There's a lot of times in my life I've been talked to by police. There's a lot of times that if I were black, things would have been different. So here's an idea for all the people taking sides. Oh, we shouldn't blame the cops. Well, fuck you. We should blame the cops. Oh, you have to understand the protesters. There's an anger. Fuck you. Of course we blame the violent protesters. But here's what we as Americans have to look at. Why on God's fucking green earth do we have a situation where we're fighting each other? Why in the world, in this country that we love to call the greatest country in the world, we just love to say how great we are. Why in the world, in this country, do we have a situation where we're fighting each other, we're killing each other over things that other countries just don't have happen? Why are we fighting a drug war? Why are we arresting people for simple possession? Why are we arresting somebody for having a knife that may or may not be illegal? Why are we doing these things? Why are we? The problem isn't what happened in Baltimore. The problem is the fact we allow conditions to exist that lead to situations like Baltimore. We allow the powder keg to sit there. We allow the fire to smolder. We allow all these. We allow the fuse to the powder keg to remain lit. Until we put out the fuse and dismantle the powder keg, what the fuck do you think is going to happen? Now I'm going to say something nobody likes to fucking hear. I'm going to say something that gets people's panties in a wad. They get all upset, and I don't give a fuck. Did I tell you this red wine is really good that I'm drinking tonight? 2009, Eberly Cote de Robles, or Cote de Robles from Paso Robles, California. Damn, it's good. I'm going to say something people don't like to hear, even though it's true. In order for change to occur, people have to feel uncomfortable. There has to be a lot of uncomfort. I heard one douchebag, he was a defense attorney from Baltimore, total fucking douchebag. He goes, "We're overreacting. There's police now in Baltimore. Don't want to arrest anybody thinking they're going to get in trouble." No. No, there's police in Baltimore that should be thinking, maybe we shouldn't brutalize the people we arrest. Maybe when someone gets arrested for having a knife that may or may not be illegal, maybe we shouldn't brutalize and kill them. So I'm going to say something people aren't going to like, but it's true. I love the idea of nonviolent protest. I think nonviolent protest should be the basis of all protest. But I also live in a place called the real world. And in the real world, sometimes riots and sometimes violence gets things happening. Don't tell me that after Ferguson, Missouri, and now after Baltimore, and after Oakland, after so many places, and not only that, just the protests that happened in other cities. Don't tell me after New York City and Eric Gardner. Don't tell me after we've brought light to these situations where people are all arrested and killed for minor things. Don't tell me that the idea of a man being shot in the back in South Carolina doesn't resonate through people. And when there is violence involved in a protest, like it or not, but if you want to live in the real world, live in the real world. If you want to live in a fantasy world, go somewhere else. I live in the real world. In the real world, the violent protests that took place will create more change than going to church and praying. Because if you don't think police chiefs and city councils and mayors and police commissioners across the country, be it in Philadelphia, be it in Washington, be it in Grand Rapids, Michigan, be it in Richmond, California, be it in these places, if you don't think those city officials are saying, we don't want that happening here, we don't want violence here, we don't want to be the next city, we see the problem. If you don't believe that seeing a city burn because of police policies doesn't work, you're high. You're on crack. Because that's the, sometimes it's unfortunate, but that's the only thing that's going to wake cities up and say, we have to get tough on our officers that are committing police brutality. On our officers, we have to put body cams on them. Because no longer does the American public, they're no longer to stand for this idea that a young black man was killed who was unarmed, shot in the back, or otherwise in trouble. We're not going to believe the police anymore. That's a wonderful thing. Not trusting the police is a great, great thing. Not trusting politicians is a great thing. Not trusting businesses is a great thing. Not trusting is a good thing, unfortunately, because people shouldn't be trusted. There's a reason we have the U.S. Department of Agriculture inspecting meat. You know why? Because we don't trust the meat producers to make the meat. We don't trust the meat producers to not make the meat untainted with bacteria. We don't trust other businesses. We don't trust people to make products for. We don't trust the people that make baby formula to make the baby formula as healthy as possible unless we inspect it. There's a lot of things we want because we don't trust people. Why? Because human nature tells us when there is no oversight and we trust people, the financiers of the world, the financial industry told us to trust them. They were doing what's called a self-regulatory agencies. Who else would be best to regulate the financial industry than people within the financial industry? After all, if we do something wrong, we'll lose our business. It'll be bad, so we'll self-regulate. We'll even form this thing called the NASD, National Association of Security Dealers. So therefore, the dealings with the financial industry will be honest because we're self-policing. Does anybody want to tell me how that worked out in 2008? Does anybody want to tell me how it worked out? The more we trusted the financial industry, the more they fucked us in the ass. The more they fucked the taxpayer in the ass, the more they fucked consumers because there wasn't oversight. It's the same goddamn thing with police. If there's all these good policemen, if there's all these police officers that want to protect and serve, there's all these police officers, tell me where the fuck are they? Where are they to police themselves? They don't. So we have to police the police. We have to police our politicians. We have to police our businesses. We have to. Because as long as there's a buck to be made, people are going to do wrong. If people can make money by polluting rivers in West Virginia, they're sure as fuck going to pollute rivers. If people can make money by polluting the air, they will. If people can make money by serving tainted meat, they will. If people can make money by selling mortgages, people should never have mortgages, they will. That's just the way it happens. Why? Because I've lived in the real world, and that's what happens. So when you have a situation where police get to act like however they want to act, and you create a situation where the police hate the people hate the police, neither side is wrong, and both sides are wrong, if that makes sense to you. As long as we Americans turn our back on the cities, you know what, all these people, let me tell you something else, all you fucking white people, that includes me. You know, you act like you care so much about Baltimore. Oh, that's so terrible what's happening. Where are you calling it terrible when the schools are failing? Where are you when you got to kick in a few tax dollars to try to help the city of Baltimore? Where the fuck are you then? Then all of a sudden, all these white people act like, oh, you know what, it's so terrible what's happening in Baltimore. Yeah, it's bad. We can solve these problems. How do I know that? Because I live in Fairfax County, Virginia. We have a great school system. People lie about living in Fairfax County so they can go to Fairfax County schools. We know how to educate kids. We know how to build great schools. We know how to do things like this. All we lack is the will. We know how to police. We know how to create an honest police department. We know how to, with the technology today, we know how to maintain a police department. We know how to solve crimes, and we know how we can have our police doing more than just busting people for petty crime. But petty crime's easier. Hell, arrests for selling cigarettes on the street. Now that requires six people to manhandle a guy. Now is that really the best use of our police force? You tell me. Is it really the best use of our police force to be busting kids that have a dime bag? Which brings up a question. Do they still use terminology like dime bags anymore? Tells you how old I am. As long as we create a situation where we're fighting amongst ourselves, things in America don't get better. As long as we have a situation where we have a bunch of fear-mongering assholes, otherwise known as the Republican Party, things don't get better. Oh, so much to talk about. Mike Huckabee joined the race. Let's talk about presidential politics for a moment, because this is all revolved a little bit around. You know, we talk about how crazy they are in Texas. We talk about how, no, the federal government is not going to invade Texas. No, you people are freaking crazy. The craziness happens when the leaders continue to play on these fears. You're going to get more fear when leaders continue to prey on this. So the Republican presidential candidates are running into a big problem now. Because if you're a Republican presidential candidate and you go, no, the fucking people in Texas are crazy, say, no, I don't buy the idea that Obama would take part back. They've created such a narrative, and I'm going to call it now, and we're going to see how this unfolds. I'm going to elaborate more on this, possibly tomorrow night. We'll see. I think I don't go to work till, oh, I got to work early Friday morning. By that, I mean like 10:30, because that's early for me. Maybe I will talk about it tomorrow night late. But the Republican presidential candidates are all in trouble. Because if they get up on a debate stage and say, I don't think the U.S. military was doing anything illegal, I don't think they were doing anything wrong in Texas, they're going to lose the fucking crazy people they've been cultivating for years. But if they do say, yes, something was wrong in Texas, we should look at the U.S. military and see if they're about to invade fucking Texas, then they're just fucking nuts and no one will vote for them. So what do? They're going to go to these debates, and what's going to happen? When Ted Cruz tries to out-crazy Rand Paul, and Rand Paul tries to out-fucking-crazy Mike Huckabee, and Mike Huckabee tries to out-crazy, well, who's next? Ben Carson. When he tries to out-fucking-crazy Ben Carson, that's a challenge. If you out crazy Ben Carson, I got respect for you. We got to get Michelle Bachmann back in the race to do that. Got to get Steve King running for president to do that. Because if you out crazy Ben fucking Carson, you're good. You're crazy good. So as they're trying to out crazy each other, the craziest ones are going to get the applause. The craziest ones are going to do it. They had the guy in the army, a colonel, a fucking colonel. He was a lieutenant colonel, not a fool bird. I know this shit. He was Lieutenant Colonel, United States military. He has a town hall meeting in the town where there's going to be some training. One of the people says, well, I don't believe anything. He talks about what the colonel said. I don't believe a thing the colonel just said. And everybody in the room applauded. Because they don't trust the U.S. military anymore. Well, yeah, way to go, Texas. Way to fucking go, Texas. You got the Bubba from the Backwoods show. Let me tell you what. If I had to call into a show and talk to the people on the damn show, I would pick, of all the others, I don't think I've ever listened to it. If I have, he can correct me. But I'll tell you what. If I could call and talk to the people that do the Bubba from the Backwoods show, I'd be on that like white on frickin' rice. I'll guarantee you that. Bubba from the damn Backwoods. Man, I hope that guy calls in. Or a woman. Just guessing Bubba's not a woman, but you never know. But as long as we have the Republican Party pandering to the crazy elements of America, to the paranoid, schizophrenic, fear-mongering people, the people that do really believe the UN is up to no good, the people that really do believe President Obama is a socialist, the people that really do believe Hillary personally ordered the attack on Benghazi, as long as these crazy frickin' people are part of the Republican Party, then you're going to have a lot of Republican conservative activists dying for this. And when Jeb Bush tries to be normal, when Jeb Bush tries to be a sane voice, he's going to lose the base just like Mitt Romney did. Mitt Romney didn't lose because he didn't win independence. Mitt Romney lost because the conservative base didn't turn out. And make no mistake about it, Jeb Bush will most likely be the nominee. However, let's understand some dynamics of what's about to happen in 2016. The Republican Party is devouring itself from within. The Tea Party has kind of taken over the Republican Party. The establishment wants it back. There's going to be a push and pull. You got guys like Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, Michelle Bachmann, Ben Carson, the list of fucking crazy goes on. Rand Paul. Sooner or later, mark my words on this, you're going to hear rumblings of it. Whether it happens in 2016, we have yet to see. The conservative base, the Tea Party base of the Republican Party, is not going to take a Jeb Bush nomination in stride. They felt like they took the Mitt Romney nomination stride. They felt like they didn't want Mitt Romney. Make no mistake about it. You look at the early primaries, Mitt Romney was winning with 35, 34, 37%. Between Newt Gingrich and that sanitarium guy, they were completely outpolling Mitt Romney combined. So Mitt Romney was like, he wasn't this, you know, frickin' favorite of the conservatives. And when he got, and the conservatives wanted him to lose. That's why they didn't show up. I'm not making this up. They didn't show up for the election. Pretty soon, the conservative base and the Tea Party base is going to say, you know what? If the Republican Party continues to pay lip service to us, yet nominates the Mitt Romneys and Jeb Bushes of the world, we're out of here. We want someone who speaks our language. We want someone who speaks the xenophobic anti-immigration message. We want someone that speaks the bigoted. All right, Bubba from Backwoods is talking to me in the chat room. I like it. The bigoted anti-LGBT group. All of them are going to demand a third-party person to run under the Tea Party banner. Now, Bubba from Backwoods Show says, my bedroom was invaded by the military. I had to blow off a lot of soldiers' heads to be set free. I made captain when I was done. I like that. We got a captain from the Tea Party militia. I like that. A man who stands up for America. Freaking military invaded my bedroom. I'd do just like Bubba. I'd blow their damn heads off too. Tell you what. And Bubba and I will laugh about this, but Bubba, you weren't listening earlier. Let's be honest. The people that believe, I want you to think of something, Bubba, and this is true. The people that believe that the military is ready to invade Texas, the people that believe there's FEMA camps in Arkansas, the people that believe President Obama is going to do an end route around the Constitution and somehow get a third term, the people that think Hillary Clinton is in cahoots with the Libyans, and that's how Benghazi happened. The people that think that Iran's going to get a nuclear weapon and kill us all. Those people really believe it. As much as we mock them, as much as we talk shit about them, they believe it. And as long as they believe it, the Republican Party is in a lot of fucking trouble. And these people are mentally deficient when it comes to processing information. I can look at idiots like Dick Cheney say something about the dangers of Iran. I can listen to Tom Cotton. I can listen to Bernie Sanders. I can listen to Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden. I can listen to them all. And I can take in all that information and say, okay, first of all, what's most reasonable? And of the things that are most reasonable, which do I agree with? Does that mean I agree with everything Barack Obama does? No. Hillary Clinton? No. Bernie Sanders? No. Ted Cruz? No. Hell, I agreed with Brent Bozell a while ago about the idea of the Charlie Hebdo idea that I am Charlie. I agreed with him on that. He said, I am not Charlie. I can explain why. I agree with Brent Bozell. Now, I'm the guy that's supposed to take whatever Brent Bozell says and say it's wrong. I'm supposed to take whatever Brent Bozell says because I disagree with his politics. I disagree with everything he stands for. I'm supposed to take everything he says and say, you know what? That's wrong. But he said something that was right. He said, I'm not Charlie. I'm not Charlie Hebdo because I'm not going to write cartoons merely to denigrate a religion. Because if somebody wrote those cartoons to denigrate my religion, I would take it as offense, and I think it's disrespectful. I am not going to write a cartoon that mocks and offends Muslims just for the sake of making sport out of Muslims. So I am not Charlie. I would never put out offensive cartoons like that because it's wrong. I agreed with Brent Bozell. I have the mental capability. Does that mean I'm always right? No. But it means I possess the mental capability to understand a rational argument versus batshit crazy Greg Abbott in Texas. Bubba from Backwoods says, while they're gone, we should raid their places and make money. While they're gone, we'll be rich. And when they come back, LOL. I think you're talking about the soldiers when they're gone, right? I like this Bubba guy. I'm going to have to follow Bubba's show on Blog Talk Radio. All right, I've been going with my monologue for about an hour and 19 minutes. My bottle of wine's almost dry. The wine is dry, and it's so good. The Republican Party made a conscious decision a while ago. They made a decision with all knowledge to what they were doing. They made a decision that they would get in bed with the Tea Party. Now, I'm one of the only few that sees... what happened after the economic meltdown, the meltdown on Wall Street, the TARP, all the things that happened? Two groups started to rise during that time. One was the Tea Party on the right. On the far left, we had what we called Occupy Wall Street. Both groups got a lot of press. Both groups were growing exponentially early on. No one is going to lie. If anybody in the Democratic Party lies and they say, oh, we didn't make googly eyes at the Occupy movement for a while. Anyone in the Democratic Party says, yeah, we looked at them and thought this might be a group we can get in our fold. We did. We looked at the Occupy movement. We looked at them. I looked at them and said, yeah, I might go downtown and join with these people. Then I started to hear more about them. And I said, you know what, let me take a step back. Let's let things play out as they will. As it turns out, the Democrats did not get in bed with them. The Democrats did not jump in bed with the Occupy movement. However, the Republicans said, hey, we can use the Tea Party for our advantage. And they got in bed with the Tea Party. They embraced this Occupy right movement called the Tea Party. I like Bubba from the Backwoods show. He said he just pulled some weeds so the roses will grow. Maybe we should have some smoke and some mo booze. I like Bubba. I'm going to follow his show. I'm going to call in. I'm going to be another Bubba. When the Republican Party decided to embrace the Tea Party, when they made the conscious decision to join forces with the Tea Party, when they made the conscious decision to welcome the Tea Party into their big tent, the Republican Party started eating itself from within. And they don't even know where the parasites are anymore. All they know is they're being eaten from within, and they don't know what to do about it. Mark my words, the end of the Republican Party as we know it is here. The only way the Republican Party will come back is when the Republican, the white Republicans over 60, until they all die, the Republican Party will not be a player in national politics. They will be a regional party of crazy backwood fucks named Bubba. No offense, Bubba. But with that, I think I'm going to call it a night. This is Alec. It's Politics and a Beer. If you get a chance, make sure you listen to the Bubba from the Backwoods show. Bubba, when is your show on? Or do you a revolving schedule like I? We'll see if Bubba types something in. I want to plug his show. But either way, I'm going to be out. Follow me on Twitter. You can find me at Facebook at Politics and a Beer. You can find me at Twitter at Politics and Beer. That's at @politics_n_politics. But if you search Politics and Beer, you'll find me on Twitter. And I'm about to get my blog up and running at WordPress. And we're going to start making things happen. And everybody have a good night. And mark down all my predictions. Mark down what I said. And I'll see you again, if not tomorrow night, maybe next week. Good night, everybody.